I pray that that is every one of our story, praising our Lord all the day long, for he has saved us, he has redeemed us, and he is worthy of all the praise. Amen, amen. I've recently had the grace, the blessing to celebrate my birthday. And during this time, I took some time to reflect upon my life, to reflect upon my dreams, my hopes, my plans. I also realized that this month's been five years since we moved from Michigan here to LA. And I remember before we moved, we had bought a house. We had plans to maybe even retire in that house. When we moved here, we said we'll move here for 4 years and then we'll see where it goes. But through it all, we've had God's peace in our heart. And we know that we are in God's will. But I've also realized that many times we find ourselves in situations that we didn't necessarily plan for. Sickness comes. Maybe your spouse died too early, you're now a widow. Maybe there were problems in family, and now you're a single parent raising children. You may find yourself in situations that just don't make sense. And the question that's part of our human nature is to ask, why? Why is this happening to me? How is this even possible? When will it end? And these are sometimes questions that don't have very clear answers. But before I go any farther, I want to say that there is good news. God is sovereign. He remains in control. And he's not surprised by the situation you find yourself in. So we give him all the glory. Tonight, I want us to look at someone who had their plans radically changed. And since we are in this season, it's the season when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I want us to look at Mary. Mary had her life ahead of her. She was engaged with a man she loved. They were preparing for their wedding. I can only imagine all the little preparations. How many people are we going to invite to the wedding? How much food are we going to order? Where's the wedding going to be held and all that? And in this beautiful time, this joyous time, she receives a news that defined her life, that changed her life completely. The day that God changed her plans. And that's going to be the title of my message, When God Changes Your Plans. And if you don't mind, please open up with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, as we read this very known passage, the birth of Jesus foretold. And the word of God says this: In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, The child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. As we read this, and as I read through this passage, I had these very fond memories of my childhood. I had these fond memories of seeing my children in Christmas plays. I remember children dressed up as angels, as Mary, as the lamb, as the shepherds. I remember those plays, those beautiful moments, the little baby doll Jesus in a manger. But today, as I read through this passage, something else shows up in this passage. The one thing that it's clear we can see here is that we can see Mary's fear. We can see Mary's worry, her apprehension, her confusion. But more than that, we can see her faith. So tonight, as we look at this, what happens when God changes your plans? The first thing that we can see here is that when God changes your plans, he first moves you into his plan. One thing that's very clear in the birth narrative that we read here and in all the other gospels is that God didn't come to Mary and to Joseph, and he didn't ask them for permission if they were okay with this plan. The angel didn't come to Mary and say, hey, Mary, listen, this is the plan. Do you have any suggestions? Is there anything you would like to change? What would you like to, do you have any input on this plan? But the angel told them, Mary, you will conceive. Mary, you shall name your son Jesus. And when the angel went to Joseph, after he was upset and he was ready to let Mary go, to divorce her, the angel tells Joseph, you will take Mary as your wife. You see, the Lord God didn't ask Zechariah and Elizabeth if they still wanted a baby at an old age. The angel came to Zechariah and said, Zechariah, your wife will bear you a son. You shall name him John. The one thing that's clear, though, is that God is sovereign. In the birth narrative, he had all the details planned out. He had the right time. It was the time when they had to go to the census. It was the census time, and everyone had to go to their hometown. It was the right place in Bethlehem where the prophecy says, say the Messiah will come from. He had the right people in place, Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were part of all this. And even down to the names, God was in all the details when it came to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, many of us have had dreams when we were young. I know that when I was young, I really wanted to be a train conductor. Then I wanted to be a pilot. Then one day I told my parents I'm going to go to France to become a chef. That didn't go over well. But there's one dream that I would still be very open to today is to be an astronaut and go to space. I'm still very open to that. But looking back and taking this time to look at the God's plan to see how it unfolded in my life, it's very clear that God's plan for my life has been greater and better than any of my dreams. And you see, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, and Elizabeth were honored to become part of God's plan of salvation. But what set them apart? What was different? What about them? The passage tells us that Mary found favor with the Lord. In Matthew, we see that Joseph was a just man. And when he listened to the angels, he became also a faithful man. Elizabeth and Zechariah, we're told in Luke, they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. These four, they were just, faithful, righteous. And that is what each one of us is called to be as we trust in God's plan for our lives. A proverb says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And I read recently in a place that you can choose not to obey God's will for your life, but you cannot change God's perfect will for your life. And the God's perfect will for our life, and we know this verse so well out of Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." When it feels like things aren't going right, but when you know that God has changed your plans, when you recognize that He is in control, He is moving you into His perfect plan for your life, and He calls you to trust in Him. The second thing we see as God changes our plans, He strengthens us. You see, it wasn't easy for Mary and Joseph to walk in God's plan. Mary became pregnant before being married. Then they had to travel while being pregnant to Bethlehem, which was a very strenuous journey. They got there late, therefore there was no room at the inn, let alone the palace. And then to top it all off, they only found room in a manger for her son, for the Son of God. There was only room in a manger. And then soon after, maybe 2 years later, they woke up in the middle of the night, "Get up, you gotta flee to Egypt right now." Many times we have this concept, this idea that if we are in God's plan, that things will be easy. That just because we are in God's will, things should be easy. But I want to remind you that Jesus chose to walk in God's plan, in the Father's plan for His life, and that path led to the cross. Paul chose the hard path that led to imprisonment and then to his eventual execution. Peter chose the hard path that eventually also led to a cross. Now, while we aren't promised an easy path, we were promised that Christ will always be with us. And that's what He tells the disciples as He ascends to heaven. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." The words that strengthened Mary, the words that Mary needed to hear as she got this wow news, this very interesting but yet powerful news, the words that she needed to hear and the words we need to hear today is this. In verse 28, "The Lord is with you." In verse 35, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." In those tough times, it's the power of the Lord that will strengthen you, that will do the miraculous when you least expect it. When there is no hope, it is the power of the Lord that will do those things. Because verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with the Lord." If we are in God's plan, we are not alone. If we are in God's plan, we are strengthened by Him and He is with us. God provides. He gives us His provisions. Mary, for example, had Joseph by her side, a just and faithful man. The wise men brought them very special gifts that had very deep spiritual meaning. But they were also a financial blessing as they were ready to pick up, leave everything behind and flee to Egypt. Then God warned them that it was time to flee to Egypt and He protected them. But the greatest blessing, the greatest strength that we have, the greatest blessing is peace. In the whole birth narrative, the angel always said, "Do not be afraid." When we know that we are in God's plan, we have God's peace. And there is this math of God. God's plan plus God's provisions equals God's peace. The psalmist says in Psalm 29, verse 11, May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And we know out of the prophecy, out of Isaiah, that the son that will be born, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, among other names. And before Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, you are also not alone when you are walking in God's plan. God is with you, strengthening you, giving you his provisions, his peace. Not only that, there are God's people that are alongside you, that are there to help you, to pray for you, to strengthen you, to lift you up. In Isaiah 43, God made this promise to his people. "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And if today Jesus is our Lord and Savior, this promise applies to you and to me, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And thirdly, when God changes our plans, first he moves us into his perfect plan, into his perfect will for our lives. He strengthens us with his provisions, with his peace. But in the end, he always glorifies his name. In the end, God will always receive the glory, no matter what situation you're going through. When we ask ourselves, how can a virgin conceive without a man? Only God can do that. Praise be to him. How can an old and barren wife still conceive? Only God can do that. Praise be to him. How can a 700-year-old prophecy be fulfilled? Out of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Only God can do that. Who alone can give you the peace in the midst of your circumstances? Only God can do that. Praise be to him. Who alone can bring salvation into your life, into my life? Only God can do that. God's promise of a Savior fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Praise be to him. You see, after she receives this news, Mary goes and meets up with Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she says this in Luke 1:45. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." What did Mary do when she believed and trusted in the word of God? She sang a song of praise. In Luke 1, 46-47, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Glory and praise to him forever and ever. Who alone reigns forever." The promise in these announcements, in the birth announcements, we have it right there in verses 32 and 33. "He, the son that will be born, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Who alone reigns forever? Only Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Praise be to him. You see, when the healing comes, we give praise to God. When resources are miraculously provided, we give praise to our God. When prayers are answered, we give praise to our God. When chains of addictions are broken, we give glory to our God. When the prodigal son, when the prodigal daughter returns, we give praise to our Lord. When we're pulled out of the miry pit of sin and we're brought into salvation, we give praise to our God. See, Mary found herself in a very challenging situation. Her plans were turned upside down. But when she realized the honor that was bestowed upon her by God to fulfill his plan, his promises, his prophecies of old, she gave praise to the Lord. But at that moment, Mary couldn't have known at that time the pain that she was going to have to endure as she was going to see her son, the Son of God, betrayed, beaten, spit on, crucified, dying for her sins and my sins and your sins and the sins of the world. God is omnipotent. He can do all things. God didn't necessarily need Mary to fulfill his plan. God wasn't bound that this is the only way. There were many ways he could have found many solutions, but this was his perfect will. But unlike God, Mary needed God to send Jesus into the world as to save her and to save us. We need Christ. And so we praise him, God, for fulfilling his perfect plan of salvation through Jesus. And one day, we'll see him face to face. And on that day, everyone will praise the name of our Lord. One day, as we sang earlier, every knee will bow down and confess the name of Jesus. And on that day, we have that promise out of Revelation 21. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. No matter what circumstances you find yourselves in today, no matter how hard it is, no matter how upside down your plans might be, if today you find yourself in God's will, in God's plan, give him the glory that he deserves. So when God changes our plans, he moves us into his plan. He strengthens us. But he ultimately glorifies his name through whatever he does. So what's left for us to do? One word. Faith. You see, when Zechariah received the news from the angel, he did not believe. And I'm surprised because Zechariah the priest, though it was hard to accept, they were both old, him and his wife, that they were going to have a child at an old age. But you see, Zechariah knew the word. He had an example. There was a precedent of God doing the same thing for Abraham and for Sarah. They had their promised child at an old age. But he didn't believe. And for the duration of the pregnancy, he couldn't speak until it was fulfilled, until the baby was born. But Mary, on the other hand, believed. She had faith. And it's something even harder to believe. A virgin to have a baby. But she believed. She trusted in the word of God. That was the key. In Luke 1:38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You see, in the midst of our circumstances, God is calling us to trust in his word. In his word. And like Mary, to serve God faithfully. This isn't a faith of, well, there's just no other way and that's that. This is not a defeatist reaction, but it's an action of faith, of trust in God's plan, that God will provide the resources, though it is not what we maybe wanted for our lives. It's not what we had dreamed for. We know that God's plans are best. We know that his will is best. And we know that because in Romans 8:28, we're told, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The key for those who love God, for those that trust in his word. And that is our call tonight, to trust in his word and have faith that his word is yes and amen. And in every circumstance, he is there for us. He is strengthening us, and he is giving us his peace. So let's continue to glorify him. Let's honor and bless the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.